The first sports talk show for your sports weekend. The fastest 60 minutes in sports. It's the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Good morning. Good morning, Nashville, Tennessee. How's everybody doing out there? It's the coach, and this is the League Sports Talk Show, your very first sports talk show for your sports weekend. And, guys, how are we doing this morning? I got Sedge there, V, Corey, Randall. What's going on this morning, gentlemen?
What's up, Coach?
What up, Coach? How you doing, Coach?
I'm in the studio hating on you, Coach.
Are you? Nice. I like that. I like that. I heard that the Las Vegas Raiders moved to Canada now to play in the CFL. Is that true? Sorry. Spreading rumors. I probably shouldn't do that. But,
don't do that,
but yeah, good morning to you guys. Good morning to you guys. We're going to go with this with some good energy and some good fun. It's easy for me to say because I'm sitting down here in Panama City Beach, Florida, looking over the ocean and the waves rolling in and the storms yesterday with 60 mile an hour winds. And I am excited to be with all you guys and ready to go.
Excellent. Let's do it.
So, hey, so a couple good things. One, we started our Twitter page out there. So everyone out there that's listening, you are welcome to go at the League STS. That's at the League STS. And you're welcome to put your comments in as we go through the show. We're excited about that. Of course, we're also on Facebook at the League Sports Talk Show on Facebook, so you could join us there as well. But it is going to be a great day and a great 57 minutes of sports talk. Great news for our show. We have a new sponsor joining us. We have Nashville Toyota North that is there for us as well, and that's where the coach works and makes the bucks, so I can play golf occasionally. And then we've got on the line with us is Matt from Double Dogs. Double Dogs in Gallatin. How are you doing, Matt?
Okay. Coach, I think we're having a problem getting Matt on. We're going to bring him back on shortly. But until
not
then.
Not a problem. So, So not a problem at all. And we'll get him on. We're just super excited about the relationship that we'll have with them. Double Dogs there is my favorite spot to go to. And really the whole area, I love the place. Great family atmosphere and sports and ice-cold cerveza. So it's an exciting place to be. But we'll talk to Matt here in just a bit. But as we think about the prior week in sports, guys, one of our new segments from a week ago is the awesome or awful, meaning what did you see over the last week that was awesome and what did you see that was just awful? And I'm going to start with you, Randall, and listen to kind of what you've got. I've got one that's kind of interesting. It's all one and the same, but I'll get to that in a little bit. What did you guys see? Randall, what did you see this past week that was awesome or this past week that was awful or both?
Okay, I saw the Nashville Soccer Club sign a 17-year-old homegrown talent. The way they talked about this guy, he's going to be the next big things in sliced bread. I saw the interview. The kid is actually really, really young, Corey. I thought he was in middle school, but they said that he's come up through the system. So it's good to see the soccer club getting, you know, local talent and be able to fill that arena they got over there in the fairgrounds.
Yeah, you know, that's I'm glad you brought up our Nashville soccer program here, professional team, and they're I haven't had a chance to go out there, but everybody that I talked to says that they put on a great show. They're having a great season this year too, and I saw that they added the 17-year-old to the roster, you know, and Pulisic, you know, who has been with our United States team and obviously plays in Europe too. Mm-hmm. He came in very, very young and obviously has made a major impact on soccer as an American. So I'm excited for this young man, 17 years old. You know, we talk about pressure. We've talked about things like we'll talk about in a little bit about John Morant. And, I mean, Corey, what type of pressure is that? When you come in, I mean, you're 17 years old, and it's a whole other world than when you were in, you know, high school and high school football as it is today. And now we're talking about a different sport in soccer or football, F-U-T-B-O-L, I think is the proper spelling of that. But, Corey, what's the pressure like in regards to that?
I think it depends on the phenom. You know, you typically have these issues when guys, you look at LeBron James, you look at all of the expectations with him coming in. But I think some people are built for it. I think they're barred up. the pressure rise. What I'll say, you know, that they're built to handle that pressure up through. And when you have an internal confidence and a thought process about it, sometimes it's like this person at the line with no time on the clock to win the game, and the gym goes empty. And so I think it's some people that can compartmentalize it, but I think in the mainstream, you look at it, you're like, man, this kid is under pressure. But sometimes they're just out there playing. They don't even realize the pressure that people look at it as. And it's really not pressure. It's just a game. You know, it's a game. And so I think some of them are able to compartmentalize it like that and just go in and do their thing and let their talent do what it is. And I think that has to be the case for a 17-year-old to
because he looked if you see the interview, he looked smooth. He looked frazzled. He looked young.
Some people got it. Like
I think they got some in him.
Yeah.
It'll be. I mean, it's again. You just never really know, do you? You never really know until you know if somebody's gonna become that phenom. As an example, LeBron James just comes to my mind. And many others. We could go with Kobe Bryant and people that really just directly out of high school players that just became professionals, and 20 years later they're, you know, Hall of Famers, et cetera, et cetera. Not that we're expecting this out of this kid, but when you bring somebody in this young, there is an expectation. I think it has a lot to do with your surrounding supporting cast. You know, who's around him? How has he been raised? You know, and we don't know any of that. And but you know, I hope the kid does great. Did you have an awful moment of the week, Randall?
Yes, Ja Morant gets 25 game suspension.
What was awful about that?
I think if you look at it, I think it's his personal life, and I think that's something that it needs to be addressed on a personal nature and not brought into his NBA life. I mean, these kids are young. They make mistakes, but I think it's in the court of public opinion, some of these decisions are made. You know, 25 games, 30 games. You know,
you think that was too much or not enough?
I think it was too much. I think it was. You know, you made a comment about what if it was a music video, and that makes sense. I mean, because in some music videos, you know, you may wield a gun. I just think they're crossing the boundaries. I don't think he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't.
But it's the second time.
But he didn't hurt anybody. I mean, remember, guns are legal.
Yeah.
And so if you could tell me what he did to affect him getting 25 game suspension for just showing the gun, I could show you a guy the other day, man, when I went to Kroger's, had one on his hip. And he was walking around with it. So it's for me.
Yeah, he doesn't play for the NBA, though.
But I mean, that, NBA, and that's why I have and that's why I have the problem, Coach, because it's saying, okay, because I play basketball, then I have to, you know, be a certain way or send this type of message. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are who they are. Some people know how to hide it. Some people, you know, put in the atmosphere. But mm-hmm. I have a problem with it. I mean, 25 is too much.
I think irresponsibility was the biggest thing.
Exactly.
With that, he was being irresponsible. But it's a private corporation, and, of course, they're looking at money. I would have dealt with it a different way, you know, if I was his advising team. I would have been out in front of it, but I think his biggest flaw was that it was irresponsible.
And immature.
And gun safety, and with all the things that are going on, the reverberating impact of how that makes other kids act is the thing. But if that all falls under moral clauses, I guess it's a private company. They can do what they want to do, but I kind of agree with you on that.
The sponsors.
What's that?
The sponsors were complaining. Nike, other organization was complaining about the image.
So it's the image thing. So what I'm saying is the image thing. I mean, so if I go wear something on my clothes and have my personal opinion, it could be an image to the NBA that can suspend me. It can suspend me because I wore a type of t-shirt.
No, like Corey said, it's the image that they try to wave away from.
I think it's the impact of the image, though. I think, again,
they're protecting the brand.
It's completely legal. He didn't do anything illegal.
Correct.
He did something more irresponsible to the platform. So if he wasn't playing in the NBA, the platform wouldn't be as big. So who would care? Nobody.
And, if he was a third-round pick? If he was a third-round pick, who would care?
Well, I mean, I think being on the NBA platform says that you have access to all these people that we spent billions on. So for you to come on the stage and do something that could send their kids or whatever it is. I just think it was the impact of the image versus anything else. But again, I just think that the irresponsibility of it was the worst thing, because what if the gun would have accidentally went off and hurt somebody? So now you have a whole nother thing. But that's definitely...
Yeah, I mean, you do. And I like how you said that, guys, and Corey. And, you work for an organization. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the NBA or, you know, some organizations are more strict in terms of their expectations of your behaviors in the workplace. And there's other organizations that you work for, and they couldn't give a rip of what you do outside of the workplace. You know, it doesn't matter. But he's in a position where he made it to the NBA. He's a grown adult man, okay, that makes his own decisions. And, you know, he's chosen to put himself in this position by his actions that I don't think there's a single NBA player, I don't know all of them, right? But I don't think there's a single NBA player that might say, hey, you know, if you go out and wield a gun tonight at a strip club, that everything's going to be okay with you, with the franchise and with the NBA.
Coach.
I mean, and he was already warned once, Randall, how many times is it going to take, right?
Coach, we now have our sponsor on the line.
Okay, cool. Hey, Matt, you out there?
I am. What's up? Good morning.
Can you hear him, Coach?
I can hear him. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
First of all, Matt, how you doing? This is Corey Harris, a former NFL player.
He was a Super Bowl.
Oh, I know you're a Super Bowl winner. I watched the Packers.
First of all, we just want to thank you.
Absolutely.
For backing the show. We're looking forward to a lot of great things. Coach is out there on the beach kicking his feet in the sand. I think we lost him for a second, but we really wanted to thank you, but also have you in it to let us know where you are. Let us know where we can send people to go over there to support the business and what's going on.
Oh, most definitely. Well, obviously, we're very excited for the partnership as well. Huge sports fans. Sports is part of what we do at Double Dogs. We are really a great family-oriented restaurant that just so happens to have 37 TVs and, 16 draft beer taps. So it's a place where you can bring the whole family out to watch the game, enjoy the meal, and everyone can be happy for sure. It's always a great time. 16 of those TVs go into making the largest screen I know in Sumner County, possibly Middle Tennessee. You guys come check it out.
Oh, definitely. I visited the one on Charlotte.
Well, we're excited to come and broadcast from there once a month with you guys. That's going to be very exciting. So we can't wait to get there and get the people in the doors for you.
Absolutely.
Yep, we're excited about that as well. I've never really been a part of a live radio broadcast, but our restaurant has got all the hookups. We're probably the best place you could think of to have that type of thing. So we're definitely excited to get it going.
Well, y'all finna be my official spot to come watch them 16 screens. Except for when the Titans playing the Ravens, I ain't gonna be there.
Well, that will be on the big screen with the surround sound, just to rub your nose in it if you are in town with the Ravens game. Because that's what we do out in Gallatin, and we represent all of Tennessee and all of Nashville. It's the Tennessee Titans, the Tennessee Vols, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's what we really feature on our screens. And that's what happens today. We got the Nashville Soccer Club playing tonight at 7:30 against St. Louis City FC. We got the watch party going on out there. Come out and see us.
Now, where's that location at?
Oh, we're at 1620 Nashville Pike, and that's in Gallatin, Tennessee. We're just right down 386. It's a short little 20-minute drive from right outside 65.
I'm going to be out there to watch Nashville SC tonight.
Okay.
Hey Matt, do you have any specials going on this weekend?
Well, we have happy hour specials on Saturdays. You stumped me with that one. But we always have happy hour on domestic bottles, house wines, and house margaritas. We have a very, very competitive happy hour. Just come on, check it out.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And we shall very shortly. Is Coach still around? Okay, we lost the coach. Well, we're gonna go forward.
It's all right. Give the coach my best. Tell him I'll see him next week. I'm sure he'll stop in and see me. Like I said, gentlemen, I'll be there this evening. Come on down.
I'll see you tonight.
All right, Matt. We shall see you. Thank you, man, for being a part of the League Sports Talk Show. Your first responders in sports.
You know it. Thank you, sir.
All right.
So while we get Coach back on the line. Yeah, not on the line, but on the line. That was my bad. We can continue with V. You want to do your awesome and awful?
I'll say Zion is probably my worst, and I guess
was Zion that was awful or that was awesome?
It's awesome. I mean, awful. I'm with you guys. I guess when we're young, we do stuff, and we're not thinking about what we're doing. And so Zion and probably John is probably going through one of those things that we have to understand that it's a youth thing. You know, we do stuff and not think. And so I hope those guys get themselves together because it's going to be crazy.
Well, I'm going to give my awful. My awful is the passing of Tori Bowie. The track star who passed. Actually, they're saying she had passed almost a week and a half ago.
Yeah. I think the early report says she passed while she was in labor.
Oh, man.
And you would think at this time and age that would be something that, you know, wouldn't be an issue. But, you know, but that's still a major issue with childbirth. I mean, we lose a lot of females yearly to childbirth.
And I think if you look further in that article, one of the things it's talking about is the death rate in of African American women,
correct,
in childbirth, and so it, you know, something that's supposed to be so beautiful, but in this day and age, and right, technology and medicine and all those things, for it still to be an issue,
yeah,
to bear children, it's a sad thing.
It really is.
Yes, you take.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys and empathize for that big time. Super sad. I hate to hear things like that. You know, and you know, sometimes when we are in the sports world, we've got to talk about things that are uncomfortable or unpleasant. You know, I don't know if you mentioned when I was off air, the death of Ray Lewis's son,
right.
Ray Lewis the III. You know, that's a, you know, we don't know what happened, and there's no reason to speculate at all. But, Corey, I know you're close to Ray Lewis, and sorry to hear that, my brother.
Yeah, man, that was my most awful thing in sports. And, you know, I and our foundation, I have a foundation, From the Heart International Education Foundation, and Kick the Stereotypes, a Sports for Life program. You know, there are a lot of things that parallel analogies and metaphors with sports and life. And what you realize is that it is just a game. And so when you look at the brotherhood that's developed, when you talk about the locker room and somebody that is as passionate about life, somebody that has been to the mountaintops and the valley, like Ray has, with just different situation in life, man, this was really a blow. I hadn't talked to him. I was just able to text him and tell him that I was praying for him and that I loved him, man. That I know that God would fill this gap like only He can, man. But it's just a sad thing, and it doesn't matter how it happened to you know,
right.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't.
You know, lose your child, lose your namesake. Man, it's a horrible thing to have to deal with. But it is a part of life. It's just tragic that, you know, you have to bury your child. That's a horrible thought. To have as a parent.
It is a horrible thought for anybody, and you know, we're praying for him. Let him know that we're praying for him. I'm sure all the fans here in the Nashville area pray for him as well. You know, even though you might not particularly care for each other on a football field or other field or court or whatever, you know, there are certain things that bring us all together in sports, and that's the unique thing about sports. And you know, we left talking about John Morant and the awesome and awful. And, you know, for me, with the John Morant just moving to that situation, it's a life situation. He's making life choices. He's putting himself in positions, to your point, Corey, earlier,
that could be dangerous to himself or others. And, you know, I looked at the suspension, and on our Twitter page, you can go there at the league STS right now, and you can see the poll results. I put a poll out there yesterday that asked the question, you know, was this the right suspension? Was it, should it have been longer? And then finally, everybody makes a mistake. Everybody needs a break. So 57% of the people that responded to that with John Morant said it should have been longer, you know, and then 21% of the group said that, you know, it was just right. And then 21% said, hey, people make mistakes and move on type of a thing. But, you know, my thought is this, and I put some thought into this because I love him as a player. I don't know him as a person, but, you know, I care like all of you do, you know, Memphis Grizzlies fans, sports fans, when something like this happens with a player. And the question that I asked myself, guys, was, and you guys, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, is does the suspension all of a sudden cause Ja Morant to completely change and be different than he is leading up to this, which he'd been warned two times? Do suspensions ultimately change the human being? My answer is no. And so what happens during suspension? He's away from the team, I assume. There's probably major significant financial damage as well. He's not around his norm, which is his teammates. So what's the impact of the suspension, guys? I mean, and in general, do suspensions work?
I think it depends on what the team is around the person away from the facility. I think some of the suspensions are that an athlete can't be in the facility. That's like stripping a child from their home. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately it still comes down to the person.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it's like an addict, you know, until you hit the ground, till you hit all the way down right to the bottom, and you don't think, and you know, spiritually or otherwise, until you are all the way down and feeling the worst that you can feel and knowing what you're about to lose, until that impact hits, we don't make a change. And I think that's all humans. Until if we think we can keep doing what we're doing, guess what?
We're going
to
do it.
We're going to keep doing it. So I think it comes down to him and what he really feels, what's important to him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you talk about Zion, you know, maybe the money is something that's blown his mind, you know, to the point that, you know, I got $30 million in the bank. I don't need to play again. I'm going to be me. I'm going to do so. You just never know what a person is thinking. You never know what a person is dealing with. So I think the time is the most important thing with those 25 games. It's not how much money he's going to lose. I think it's the time and the interaction that he has. I think I have a pretty unique best thing in sports, and I think it was seeing Jimmy Butler decline holding the runner-up trophy.
I saw that.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo tried to hand the trophy, and it kind of read his lips on Twitter. I think he said, I'll hold the next one. I think he was really referring to the championship trophy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole team was clapping. Eric Spoelstra was clapping. But I think for him to see that Mamba mentality, that Jordan mentality, it's like, you know, I can't celebrate not reaching the goal this early.
Yeah.
You know, when you get away from it, get on the beach like you are a coach, you can sit back and like, man, you know, nobody thought we was going to do it, and we did some great things. But, man, when you fall short of the goal, it's just hard.
It doesn't matter.
It's hard to clap and the whole nine. So to see that, you know, it made me feel good just about sports and competition, and to really see what type of dog he is. And they'll be back. Yeah,
they'll be back.
That's what he was like. He was like, "No, I hold the next one." So that I really thought that was a bright thing.
That's an awesome
situation.
Yeah, you know, it's a whole another discussion for a whole another day, guys. But it begs to talk about participation trophies, participation trophies, and that's a whole thing for another day. I remember, guys, I was coaching football in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there was a Thanksgiving national tournament, that football tournament, tackle football tournament, that came to Charlotte. And I put together this team that, you know, I had 25 uniforms, so I picked up 25 kids. They had like 100 people try out for it, picked them up. My son, my oldest son was one of them on the team. We were the Vikings, not the Minnesota Vikings. We were just the Vikings. And, boy, I had this team ready to bite through metal getting into this tournament. And we ran all the way through to the championship game, just beating teams like a drum. I mean, it was over before it even began. And then we got to the final, and I looked at this big old bus shows up. You know, we don't even have matching uniforms. Our helmets don't match. You know, half of them don't have logos. We're all different colors, and all of a sudden, Team Canada shows up with trainers, tables. I mean, trainers. Yeah.
Showed up to win, baby. Yeah.
They were prepared.
So I'm sitting there, and I bring my guys together, and I'm like, listen, you know, I don't play the game. You know, that type of a speech. I don't know what type of speech you get, mother, and I don't play the game. You play the game. You know, go out there and smack somebody and let them know, you know, make them remember where they were at this day, that type of a thing. And we go up against them. And long and the short of it is we end up losing the championship against Team Canada. But you know, and my son was on the team. We get home, and I go out to take the trash out, and there's the second place trophy that my son had received in the trash, you know. Now, some people look at that and go, oh, he's a bad sport, you know, or, yeah. No, we just lost a championship, okay? Don't talk to him about anything else. We can talk about the fluffiness of the ride later, but you just lost this a few hours later. So, guys, again, we'll have this discussion, participation trophies, things like that, but I love hearing that. That's an awesome moment of the week. I actually didn't catch that, so very, very good. Well, hey, we're gonna take a break now. I'm loving talking sports on this Saturday morning. While you guys had me off for a little bit, I just ran down to the beach, saw a 6-foot wave, and just ripped it, and then ran full speed back in for a workout. People were cheering for me. I'm like, it's cold.
You don't sound like you're breathing hard enough, because we know you.
Yeah.
it was an incredible dream I had last night. Relived that dream.
Well, hey, before we go,
we're going to take a break right now.
Coach, before we go, I'm going to give my awesome. We got a few minutes. I'm going to give my awesome. My awesome is the Las Vegas Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup. Let's go.
Okay.
What you guys got to say about that?
Hey, they did it quick.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I watched the interview, Sedge, with the owner. And the owner, and then they played an audio, actually a video and audio, obviously, from him 6 years prior to when he took over ownership of the team. And that was one of my awesome moments, too, because he took over the team and he said in 3 years, playoffs. In 6 years,
championship.
Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's 6 years.
Yes.
It's 6 years, Sedge. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up, Sedge, because that's, isn't that amazing?
Oh, man.
When you have a plan.
So,
you know,
I've been wanting to see teams, the expansion teams, come out right out the gate and win one just to smear it in the faces of the guys who
I'm going to comment on that when we come back.
I'm going to hold that, and you hold that, Coach, and we're going to break, and you are listening to the League Sports Talk Show, your first responders for sports.
You're listening to the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
And we are back to the League Sports Talk Show. The coach is in Panama City, soaking up all the sun and the rain.
I am. You got a mixture of both, Sedge. And yeah, and I like it. I like it a lot. We're heading back today. But you brought up something good, Sedge, and the Golden Knights and then winning the Stanley Cup and then, you know, teams that were – new franchises and expansion franchises, if you will, like the Knights are within 6 years. And then I heard Corey chime in there because I already know where he's going with this. Can anybody say year 2000 in 5 years? What happened, Corey? I'm sure you want to expand on this for Sedge and I.
Well, the thought being that Dan Snyder showed us that it's pretty hard in a sport like football, the ultimate team sport, to buy a championship. But I think in hockey, the way that it's done, the way that the expansion is done, the Vegas Golden Knights were able to build a team I think the only missing thing was the chemistry, and I think the plan that they had was able to come to fruition because the chemistry was able to be built. But when you talk about the talent that the team had, I think in fact in 2018 the first year, the inaugural season, they won the conference championship. They didn't win the Stanley Cup, so I think. What we talked about, which was better, the Denver Nuggets or the Vegas Golden Knights? I think the Knights built the championship. Yeah. They followed the plan. Mm-hmm. They got the pieces. They were had the access to the pieces. It all fit under the cap, and then they eventually got the coaching and the chemistry. I think with the coaching and chemistry, what they did was phenomenal in the time frame,
right.
But I think it was like building a franchise. They, you know, McDonald's going to do what McDonald's going to do if you get everything in line.
And they fans are
in the city. I mean,
yes.
I mean,
they were back from day one.
Is Vegas the place if you're a professional player to go play?
Maybe.
Is that the place to be?
They put on a show. I mean, the show before the game is better than the hockey game itself. Mm. They put on a good show. I mean, it's truly entertainment. Way I look at it.
Well, Sedge, you just said, you asked a really good question. We actually talked about it a week or in the last show, I think. Mm-hmm. Is has Vegas become the spot?
Yes.
And you know, the answer to me is yes. I mean, there's money, there's the lights, there's anything you want essentially in Vegas. A 24-hour town. There's, I think, I don't know if this is true because I'm not a tax guy, but I think there's no state income tax, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, Vegas has become that. And you know, my awful moment of the week, guys, it was actually awful and awesome kind of all at the same time. And that's as we're talking about Vegas, that's the Oakland A's, after being in Oakland forever, moving, now it looks like they're going to move to Las Vegas. Now you're going to have them, you're going to have the Knights, you got the Raiders, and all you're missing really now, the four major sports, is an NBA franchise.
Which is LeBron, coming. LeBron had that team.
Yeah, he had a team.
LeBron and Jordan going to get together again. And
the team together.
Speaking of, you saw Jordan.
Wow, that's it. That's a three. You heard it here first.
Sold,
moment.
Yeah, he sold majority stock in them.
Yeah, so I see that coming. You can see that in LeBron will probably have a team, and his son will probably be on it.
Yeah. We need to make sure this is all recorded, so we can go back and look at this when it all comes to fruition. Yeah,
right.
That, my awful moment is the A's. I mean, they were averaging they'd only won 12 games, and they were averaging 8,000 people in attendance. And then all of a sudden, my awesome moment was the people, the fans rallied. I don't know if you saw this, and then the A's go on a 7-game winning streak, and they filled, they don't fill the stadium, but they put 28,000 fans in there, most of them wearing green shirts with the yellow sell, meaning don't let the team leave, just sell the team, you know. But that's not going to happen. They are going to move. They are going to change locations. And it's a question for you guys, too. So you crowned another champion, the Denver Nuggets, earlier this week as well in the NBA. And, you know, two very surprising champions, because the Denver Nuggets had never won before, and the Golden Knights had never won before, and that's rare. I mean, I that didn't look, but, I mean, it's one of the more rare things. Which one was more surprising, though? The Denver Nuggets going all the way through and winning the NBA championship, or the Las Vegas Golden Knights winning
Golden
their
Knights.
Championship?
Golden
you already
Knights.
Mentioned Knights, yeah.
I think Denver, because the Golden Knights had been there before. They made it to the finals in their first year. I think Denver did it. One, nobody expected Denver to do it.
Correct.
But to do it with a millennial Larry Bird is amazing. And
they were dominant all year.
Yeah.
They were the team all year.
In the era of the big three, they only had the big two.
But I'm saying, having never won the finals,
right.
One, and two, doing it the way that they did it. They did it with old school basketball. And you don't see that now. Mm-hmm. You don't see it winning. You don't see players giving in to that concept. This coach, a coach's son, if I'm correct. I was more surprised. I would be more surprised. I think it was more, one, Denver did it with the development. Mm-hmm. You know, drafting players versus being able to pick players.
Correct.
So, again, if you give me the opportunity to go pick two players off of every NFL team, I'm winning the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
It ain't no doubt about it. I'm winning it.
And
so players that can play, I'm winning the Super Bowl.
And your best player facilitates. I mean, he gets everybody.
Your best player do everything.
He gets everybody involved in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he could dominate the game, but you see him looking for the cutters. He's looking for, you know, Caldwell Pope. He's looking for, you know, the other guys.
And it was fundamentals and mental skill is what I love about it. It's something that I deal with when I'm doing my development with youth to get them to understand that the cognitive side, the mental skill, the information intake process, the thing that made the two worst athletes in the NFL, the two best players in the NFL, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, you know, run a 7.5 40s, but these guys in that small space and knowing where to go with the ball. I think that's
Coach can beat
so
that.
Impressive.
Coach can beat that 7.5. I guarantee you.
He just did.
Hey! I might have to get out there. I think Tom Brady's still waiting to finish, get through the finish line on the 40-yard dash still after all these years.
Oh, hey! But he was talking about suiting up, guys, and coming back. Do y'all believe it?
No.
Oh boy.
No.
I mean, look, the whole NFC South is just a complete disaster right now with the E left. I mean, we can go over that another time. We'll talk, but we're going to talk NFL football here in just a minute. Just to summarize, though, with the Nuggets, you know, the thing that has stuck with me as I've watched the Nuggets is you just don't have any overbearing personality issues. It seems like everybody kind of gets along and the ride to win the finals championship, the NBA championship, for them just seems so fluid and so smooth, and there wasn't ever panic or anything. And it was impressive to me. I'd say more of a surprise is probably the Golden Knights, but then again, you know, the structure of the NHL allows them and expansion teams to do very, very well and get there. And anyway, yeah, some good stuff this week, some good sports stuff this week, and the NFL mandatory OTAs are over now, guys, and you know, I wanted to talk Titans football for a second, but then I also want to get into the NFL. And really with the NFL, what I want us to do is we're going to look at who are contenders and who are actually pretenders that we think are contenders. Say that three times fast, guys. But the OTAs are one thing. There's something that stuck out for me. The other day it was published, you know, that Will Levis had three interceptions in a practice or something like that. I mean, I mean, okay. I mean, it, you know, all right. I mean, so is he that bad? I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions when he did play at Kentucky. But I think what has come out of the OTAs for me is, for the Titans and for Titans fans, is Tannehill's still the guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's still the guy. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, guys, because – Sedge, I mean, the past 2 years, what have the Titans drafted? Or who have the Titans drafted? What position? They drafted a quarterback 2 years ago. They drafted another quarterback this year. Mm-hmm. And Corey, as an athlete, and Sedge, think about this with me too. Just psychologically, right, somebody that you work for says, you know what, we're going to go get these younger guys, and Malik Willis, and we're going to go get this younger guy this year, and – you know, Tannehill's probably sitting over here, the competitor that any athlete is, especially at this point. And I think maybe this may have lit a fire under Tannehill to where, hold on one second, guys. Hold on. And in fact, when he was asked about the drafting of Will Levis, I mean, I think he said something. It wasn't deja vu, but he basically essentially said, you know, here we go again, whatever type of a thing. And I like the attitude, but I think it might have set some. Do you think that this might have created a fresh new drive in Tannehill, and we see something different? We've got a different offensive coordinator. Maybe they're changing some things. Maybe he had become too comfortable as the Titans' starting quarterback. I know that's terrible to say, but maybe he did. Has this really set a fire under Tannehill's tail to get him going and say, this is my team and this is what we're going to do? Or what do you think?
I think he watched film and had a drink. And said to himself, there's no way that either one of these guys are going to take my spot. I think he's a competitor.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a receiver. He's a great athlete for a quarterback. Like, I mean, I think you could have brought another veteran in, and you still – Tannehill's made some bad mistakes at different times, but yes, in terms of a guy that can get you, I think he's the guy. I'll say we, because I'm a Nashvillian now, surrogate. he hasn't had all of the pieces. We were just talking about the fact that I can't think of the last returner that the Titans have had that make you say, well, we got a chance to get a special teams touchdown on punt or kickoff. So I think Tannehill, Patterson, to me, has always been the guy.
That's the last one. To me,
did he score a touchdown when he was here?
No, like, I didn't see him score. Like,
I think we got always back to Derek Mason.
Yeah, all the way back to Mason. So I think Tannehill is enough of a competitor. He has enough dog in him that he's a top half quarterback. So you're talking about going to get somebody else anyway. I just think he's a guy that can do it, especially with these guys. No, I don't think he was even worried about it. I think he's doing more teaching than he is worrying.
You think he's teaching?
He know the system. You know, he been in, he know the system and the players. You know, you just can't bring a rookie or a veteran in that don't know the system of the players.
Well, some of the reports come out that Willis is looking a little bit better than he did last year, but of course that's
there you go.
The backup quarterback is the most important thing, though. So I think it's a huge issue. Not knowing who the backup is. I think, one, business. Let's talk about the business. Any player that thinks he is good and solid and I can't be traded or nothing. No. I don't think most players that have good sense, they're not walking around like this is my job unless you're a superstar.
Right.
When we talk about contracts and we talk about age and the right now microwave winning, when organizations wanting to win, your job is not safe. So I think Tannehill is self motivated in this situation, Coach.
Yeah.
And I think most athletes are, right, Cedric. I mean, these guys. I mean, we've got your quarterback in Chicago. It'll be interesting for me to see him play because, you know, what I've heard when I talk to a lot of NFL guys, it's usually the third year that things start to really click. And now there's some immediate plug-and-play guys in the NFL that make it, you know, move in there or get drafted from. I get that. I'm just saying. But I'm saying in general is they typically say 3 years is that mark, Sedge, for a younger quarterback to become good enough to be a starter and beyond. And we've seen that in guys.
Yeah. You know, we saw it with Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Start with Steve McNair sitting, and hopefully we see it with Jordan Love sitting behind Aaron for a few years, and now it's time to shine.
Well, I'm telling you what, guys, I watched an interview from the locker room with Jordan Love yesterday, and I'm telling you, I don't know. I mean, he didn't exude any type of confidence nothing out of him. I watched it. I'm just like, I don't know the guy personally, but just from one interview, seeing him, he just doesn't look like he's going to be the guy in Green Bay. I think they're going to be looking again. But, you know, hey, look, I'm excited for Titans fans. I'm excited. I live here. I'm in Nashvillian now. Looking forward to getting back to Nashville from Florida here. And our new OC, Tim Kelly, I think he's putting some new wrinkles into this offense. I think that's a part of a shot in the arm for Tannehill as well. And I'd like to see him do well. And, you know, we think about what we talked about last week, right? Last week we talked about who might overtake a division winner this year. You know, you had the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs as winners of their divisions. And, you know, the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs. I put some notes just the other day together of, you know, some of these teams are contenders for sure, okay? But some of these teams – are they pretenders? Are they contenders? At this point, it's kind of fun to talk about because we don't really know where that is for the Titans. I mean, are they a contender? If Tannehill has the year he had a couple of years ago and leads them to the best record, I mean, and last year they lost 7 in a row when they were 7-3 and finished 7-10. But I want to give you this list so you can think with me on this because my top tier in the NFL teams-wise is really the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles. I mean, to me, are any of those teams right now, as we see in the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, are any of those that we look at and go, they're really not a contender to me. They're more a pretender.
I'm going to say Buffalo.
You think they're a pretender?
I think they're a pretender.
Tell me what you think.
I think they're a pretender, and I think Miami is going to win that division. Mm. Now, that's my prediction. I'm sticking with it. I just, you know, they've been there. Buffalo has been there the last, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And
they're having turmoil in the minicamp.
See?
I mean, we ain't talking about minicamp. Right. And you got Stephon Diggs, you know, already, you know. And we don't know what it's about because I look at Corey because Corey got that in-depth knowledge about what goes on.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's anything contract-related. I think he just signed the deal. I think it's more about getting it done. You know, I mean.
I think it's the organization. I mean, how can the organization, the Buffalo Bills, say, and I agree with you, Sedge, that I think the Bills are a pretender. And how do you know a player – says a player's agent, we'll just go with that, says he was there in the locker room, he was there at the practices, the coaches knew, and then prior to that, the organization comes out and says, we didn't know that Stephon Diggs was here, we didn't know he was here, he wasn't here, actually. I mean, what in the world is going on with the Bills? That's just, I mean, are you serious? Mm-hmm. And you're a professional NFL organization? Mm-hmm. Man, I might have to put them in the NFC South or send them to Canada instead of the Raiders.
Oh, God, you said the South.
Now, I think with the quarterback being the most important position, depending which one of these guys we get, which Aaron Rodgers you get, the Jets might be able to shake and bake and do some things. I can't say the Bills are a pretender, though, simply because – once you get in them lines, you got Diggs, you got Josh Allen. They may turn around and get – did Dalvin sign with somebody?
Dalvin still's out there. He's still out
there. Like, so
– and they believe it. Corey, they believe in that, you know, since he's a Florida kid, he might be in Miami.
I was going to say Miami and the Jets are two teams I think that might flip that it was that AFC East division, I believe.
Yeah, and that's – you know, I wrote – you know, I just covering all these other teams because – There's a team that to me, the Jets right now, I mean, how can you call them a contender when they haven't contended in a long time? We don't know what that's going to look like. Okay, great. You've got Aaron Rodgers now. All right, what are you going to do with it? They're not a contender to me. They're a pretender right now. The Dolphins, Ravens, to me, some of these teams. I'm going to say it. You tell me. Tell me what you think in terms of contender or pretender. We already talked about the Dolphins. Everybody kind of agrees they could be a contender. What about the Baltimore Ravens now that Lamar's happy?
Yes, I think they are a contender.
Especially if Odell Beckham is healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jaguars won their division last year, not with a great record. Won the AFC South. Titans finished second in that division. Are they a contender or pretender to go back to the playoffs and win a game or two?
So improve.
I consider them a pretender.
Yeah.
I think it's a weak conference.
I think they got division. It because the Titans – Titans folded.
It's a weak division.
Yeah, the conference. I mean, the division is not it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Titans has as good a chance as anybody, or maybe better than anybody. I mean, they've got the more veteran quarterback and veteran leadership in Tennessee. They've got the coach, you know, Vrabel, who's been there long enough. I like the Titans, and I think the Titans are not going to be a pretender. I think they're going to be contender to win that division and make the playoffs. And then you've got I've got the Chargers in the AFC West, you know, contender, pretender. I mean, I'm going to try, you know, I believe blue and gold. But, I mean, I could go out throughout Chargers history and say they were a contender and then they were worse than a pretender. I don't know, what's worse than a pretender? Just not there.
What's worse than a pretender is a contender that doesn't do it?
My wife was in the background and she goes, I said, you heard the question, right? What's worse than a pretender? She goes, a fraud. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, perfect. All right, so we'll go with that. Here's one that's a fraud, I think. The Cowboys?
Contender.
Real?
Contender. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Contender, absolutely. Contender.
Man, Pollard coming off a knee.
Contender.
Zeke gone.
Yeah.
But not, he's still out there. And there has been rumbles that he may return. So, Cowboys.
And our
defense. Come on, Corey.
But look, here's the thing this is the thing that makes it unstable. Dak is back.
Well, I listened to McCartney talk. I think, you know, getting a little more ground, Chuck, into the the game plan may actually help him a little bit. I mean, because if you look at the last few years, they aired it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they aired it out on first, second, third, and fourth down. Mm-hmm. So I think
you got a new offensive coordinator now. Yeah.
But I think that's actually going to help. I think that bouncing out for that may help his.
But what I saw last year when they ran and passed, they did good. And the defense clamped down.
As long as Jerry Jones is the owner sticking his finger in football business, they not gonna win.
Hey, coach, I'm not gonna let all your haters bother me. Dallas Cowboys are a contender.
Okay, you go ahead and mark that down, and Randall, we love you a lot, except for we don't agree. So here we're going to go to another one. Ready real quick?
Hey, 25
push-ups. I know we don't
have
a lot of time left. This has been a lot of fun, and let me give you just a few more. Pretender or contender, 49ers with no quarterback, essentially. Possibly Sam Darnold to start the season as your starting QB1.
Wow, that's tough.
That's tough, but I think Purdy, right, he's hurt. We can't say that he can't do it. He's hurt. So assuming he comes back from injury and continues to be the player that he was, because we don't have to wonder whether he can do it. He's done.
We don't know.
It's just a matter of coming back from injury.
What about the Lions, guys? What about the Lions? I know we don't have a ton of time, but Detroit Lions? Are they a contender?
For that division, they are
contender. They are pretender.
For the division.
Bears are going to win that division.
Justin Fields ain't going to make it happen.
Oh, here we go.
Justin Fields, third year. He going to. New defense.
And y'all talk about me and the Cowboys.
New offense. I think the Bears win the NFC North.
Hey. Oh, I guess so. I guess, you know what, the rest of the NFC might as well just play this year. Let's just not have a season. Let's just have the Cowboys and the Bears in the NFC Championship game.
There you go.
Randall and Sedgwick have settled that for us.
Yeah. The Bears. No. We win. Cowboys. We win that game.
And you win. Okay. Probably win the Super Bowl, too. So, listen, guys, we aren't going to play the NFL season this year. We are just going to crown the Bears, the champions, the Super Bowl champions. Everybody cannot go to training camp this year. Just stop it. Let's fast forward to February, the first week in February. Let's get to the Super Bowl. It's the Bears that's going to win it. And we don't care who else is playing them, because they're going
to win
it. That's right.
That's absolutely right. I had that written down. That's exactly the format I thought was going to happen. So what are you saying? We know Randall. Randall is – he's clenching his jaws right now. He can't – go ahead. Let it out. Let it out, man.
Cowboys.
I see a little trickle of blood coming out from your lip. You biting it so hard. But go ahead, man.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. Well, hey, guys, hey, I know we got to shut it down. I don't know how much time we have left. I think just a couple minutes, but really good show today. And remember that our Twitter page is up and running, thanks to my wife. She actually got it running for me, and it looked way better than anything I could put together.
Thank you, Jennifer. You did an excellent job, Jenny.
She said thanks, and we've got it at the League STS, at the League STS. You can also check out our Facebook page, the League Sports Talk Show, and then also thank you to Double Dogs, who are one of our new sponsors for our program. Excited to build that relationship and come see everybody out there in Gallatin at the Double Dogs. And I forgot to say one thing, guys. You ready?
We're ready.
The Chargers will win the Super Bowl. I got to go to the beach.
Oh my God.
Go jump in the ocean, coach.
Yeah, I'm going to the ocean. I love you guys. Right, this is the coach. This is the League Sports Talk Show. We got Sedge. We got V. We got Corey Harris, Super Bowl champion. We got the Encyclopedia of Sports that needs to go study more about the Cowboys. We are out. We will see you next Saturday morning. Love you guys.
Your first responders for sports, the League Sports Talk Show. We're out.